Welcome to the Women Who Fights podcast. We empower female fighters to take full agency over their training. Our goal is to celebrate and inspire others with the incredible action women and allies are taking to level the playing field. We talk to experts, uncover prejudice, and champion what's driving our progress.
And today we have Maggie Grindati with us. Maggie is a seasoned competitor who has competed on massive stages and is ready to compete on Polaris this Saturday at the first ever Women's Grand Prix. Maggie, at which point of your life did you get into jiu-jitsu and what got you in?
Awesome. Okay. So I've actually been like super like American my whole life and American sports. And then my uncle, he's from Hawaii and he's always been like on the MMA scene, more of like a promoter, matchmaker kind of guy, like back in the day. And he always would have me do like certain things. And then so finally after college, he was like, okay, do you want to come fight MMA? And I was like, okay, it's either go to more school or continue being an athlete. And it was a pretty easy choice for me. So I moved to Hawaii and our focus was on MMA. And then I was always better at the ground stuff. And then about 2 years into training or like a year and a half into training, a team that I had started training jiu-jitsu with, they went to an IBJJF tournament. I didn't even really know what that was. I was like, okay, I'll come with you. And I went and I did it. And this was in 2016. And I was like, I was a blue belt at the time. I was like, this is what I want to do. So I stopped pursuing the MMA side of it. And I went strictly jiu-jitsu. So since 2016, I've kind of committed full force to jiu-jitsu.
Wow. And you say you went to this competition and you loved it. Have you always loved competition?
So I've always, it's different for me actually, because I've always been a part of team sports. So growing up, I played soccer, who didn't, right? And then I got serious about field hockey, ice hockey, and softball. So those were my three sports from when I was about 10 until college. I played Division I field hockey. So I've always loved being an athlete and having a game schedule. And I think that was one thing I liked about jiu-jitsu too, was you can fight whenever you want. When it came to MMA, sometimes it's impossible to get fights. So that was another reason why I liked it too. Like even now, you know, it's like my job requires a lot out of me, but I still can't stop competing, you know, because I love the competition aspect, and it's all I know. I've been having a schedule of games that I need to show up for and be able to perform since I was 4 years old.
Wow.
What is it that you like in the competition aspect? What part of it do you like?
Yeah. I think it's just always being outside of your comfort zone. You know, I think that's really important. And I tell people all the time when they're like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to compete or not. I'm like, I don't either. Like you never know if you're ready, even being a seasoned black belt, until you get there and you put your hands on your opponent, you know? So it's something that's always kind of, not only are you, even if you feel prepared, you know, stepping against somebody to compete against them, you know, you're probably going to be in a position where you are uncomfortable in a sense of when you think you're prepared and you're not, or vice versa. And we all, even no matter how much you compete, you always get those nervous butterflies and this and that. And again, win or lose, you learn so much about not just obviously your technique and what you need to learn with jiu-jitsu, but I think about yourself too, you know, okay, maybe I lost because mentally I went into it this time, you know, so I think for me, mainly, it's just always keeping me on my toes, you know, always keeping me out of my comfort zone.
And do you have like a mindset? Because you're exactly who we need to ask this question. It's like, what's the mindset you get into to then go and compete and show up? Because that's the classic thing. You turn up and then you sort of have an out-of-body experience halfway through. Like how do you navigate that? Like, what's your prep like? And when you're about to step on, especially a big stage, what's going through your head?
Right. I mean, I always just make sure more than anything that I want to fight. You know, I know there's a lot of the times, whether as a competitor, you know, we just feel that obligation, or if you're in a gym where there's a lot of competitors, you know, or maybe your boyfriend or your friend or your professor is kind of poking at you to compete. I've always been somebody with myself and those around me, like, make sure you do it because you want to do it, you know? And that's definitely a stage that I'm at in my life too, because I mean, a lot of the girls, especially the girls on the card this weekend that I'm fighting, you know, jujitsu is their life and that's what they want to make their life, you know? And as much as jujitsu is a part of my life too, I choose to do it because financially I don't need to, you know, I choose to do it because I enjoy fighting. So I think the mental preparation and aspect is going to be very different for so many people, you know, because I know girls who are 4 times, you know, black belt world champions in the gi, which is obviously a very hard title to accomplish. And they freak out before they fight, even though they do it all the time, you know, and then you see someone super calm. So for me, and what I like to tell people is just make sure nerves are good. You know, nerves are good. Anxiety is good. Questioning yourself sometimes is good. But if it takes away like your peace of mind, I think that's kind of your answer in a sense. I don't know if there's going to be a mental preparation for this. It just might not be for you, mm-hmm. you know?
And yeah. I want to open a topic that is kind of weird. So weight cutting.
Okay.
So yes. Weight cutting for every competitor is most probably is a thing. And it can cause a little bit of, you know, pressure. And, you know, you look at your body and you're like, ah, oh, I'm not that number. I'm not the number of the scale that I associated myself with.
Of course.
And you're very good at all of the nutritional part. That because that is part of your job. You mm-hmm. you do it really well. So talk us through all of your weight cutting journey and your mentality around it.
Of course. When it comes to weight cutting, you know, you always want to make sure it's done healthy. With that, you know, like a lot of people will look at me and look at my body and be like, oh, where are you going to cut weight from? It's like, well, I don't have weight to lose. I have weight to cut. You know, that's the first thing. You never really want to go into a weight cut being somebody who needs to lose weight. Does that make sense? You know, I feel like as athletes, a weight cut is something that can become very unhealthy. So more important than the weight cut is making sure that you are healthy, you know, and not being overweight and not being obese, obviously, as well. There's extremes to it all. And making sure that when you go into a weight cut, if you don't know what you're doing, you have somebody that's going to help you. Because you see people go into a weight cut and they're suffering for like 2 weeks and it shouldn't be like that. I just started suffering today and I'll do the hardest part of it tomorrow, you know? So I'll really have like 24 to 72 hours where I'm really going to feel the weight cut. And that's how it should be. You know, what happens is there's people who want to get in shape during a weight cut. You know, they choose to weight cut.
Yeah.
To get in shape. Does that make sense? So I think the first thing when it comes to weight cutting is it shouldn't even be something you're going to do until you get to your, whether it's goal weight or even target weight. You know, as humans, we have a weight that we're supposed to be walking around at for our bodies to be able to support it slash last long term. And just again, when you consider yourself being a professional athlete, I think as hard as the training, as hard as the rest, as hard as anything else, you have to be treating your body in a sense of nutrition the same exact way. And even if you can eat a whole pizza and not gain a pound, it's like putting cheap gasoline in a Ferrari, you know, it's not going to burn as well as good nutrients. So that would be like kind of one little weight cut tip that I would get is make sure you know the difference between losing weight, you know, and a weight cut.
Yeah.
Is that, if you want to get more specific with it, I can get more specific. But.
No, I think that's really good. So as a conditioning coach and you have your own business, Champion Fit, can you talk to us a little bit about that and like how that became a thing, like your journey in that and how it's going? Because it sounds
and
like
also how you juggle it as well.
Yes.
How you juggle it all.
Oh yeah. Also how you juggle.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I'll get to that too. So yeah, Champion Fit is my baby. It means more to me than I think most things in the world. But I'm super lucky that since I was young, I always knew what I wanted to do. Again, like I said, I've been an athlete since I was four. And even in school, like science was always, you know, the class I would like, and my grades were just good enough so that I could play sports. So I always knew I would do something in that kind of world. And then when I got into, I always worked out on my own when I was younger. And then when I got into high school, I started lifting weights a little bit more. And I always enjoyed that. But it really wasn't until I went to college for health, exercise, and sports sciences. And I was a Division I hockey player. And so it wasn't until my strength and conditioning experience, like with a team at a very elite level, that I narrowed it down to, okay, I want to do strength and conditioning. So from college, that's what I knew I wanted to do. And then I moved in Hawaii to pursue martial arts. When I really got into jiu-jitsu, I was like, okay, I would love, especially because at the time there was nothing really specific for jiu-jitsu in a sense of strength and conditioning. And even still to this day, there are more people now, and it's amazing to see. But there really wasn't anything at the time. So that's something that I really started pursuing. And at the time I was training at Fight Sports. And for me, how I've always promoted my brand is by my results, you know, whether it's people seeing me working out and either asking what I'm doing and what it's for, or the way I look, or what I've accomplished, you know, because again, I feel like it's very important to practice what you preach, you know, in all areas of life. So I started just kind of, what I like to do a lot is watch jiu-jitsu, especially when I'm injured. You know, I'll watch jiu-jitsu, I'll watch training. And I watch jiu-jitsu more to get exercises than to study like positions in my opponents, but that's how I am. So I would watch jiu-jitsu and I would notice the most repetitive movements, or sometimes the less repetitive, to make sure our bodies are prepared for these types of things. And my goal with Champion Fit is, and now it's broadened. Now I have a rugby team. I've trained rowers. I've trained foot volley players, boxers, you know, so now it's more of just like a sport, strength and conditioning. And my belief in general is that everybody is made to be athletic, and we just limit ourselves from doing so. And most of the time is just by lifting properly. It's not because people aren't working out, but they're doing generic Olympic lifting. And what we have to know about Olympic lifting and bodybuilding is that those are separate sports. You know, so I'm not going to do basketball to get better at jiu-jitsu. So the strength and conditioning should add to what you're doing. So when it comes to Champion Fit, we always do full body, because I don't like to target one muscle area, because I'm not going to give my legs 2 days of rest because I'm going to be training jiu-jitsu. So I train muscle endurance. Obviously, the strength comes with it. But more importantly than one rep strength is going to be your muscles lasting in jiu-jitsu. So everything Champion Fit is built around is making your muscles not strong, but so that the strength in your muscles lasts. Because we know it's not usually one 10-minute fight. You know, next weekend it'll be three 10-minute fights to win. You know, so it's not about being strong, you know, in one rep, because we never do one rep of anything in jiu-jitsu or in most sports. So yeah, so Champion Fit's whole thing is just about showing people, like, look how amazing your body is. Look what you can actually make your body do. And I get moms that come in all the time because I have a boot camp class too. So I have an online platform. I have athletes I train. I have teams I train. I have individual clients. And then I have boot camp classes as well. And I have people coming in and being like, oh, I'll never be able to do that. And then they can. And age doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. It's just because we limit ourselves from doing so. Our bodies are incredible. You know, so what I really want to give to the world is movement, you know, and longevity, especially with jiu-jitsu, with the injuries.
So with a person that trains jiu-jitsu consistently, like let's say 5 days a week, what's the ratio of strength and condition or your program
right
to BJJ that would be sustainable?
Right. So when it comes to a routine, when it comes to jujitsu and strength and conditioning and trying to balance, I believe if you're doing the right thing, I'll train when I'm have the time and I'm full training. I had just torn my ACL, but before that, I was training 5 sessions a week of jujitsu and 6 days a week of strength and conditioning. Three of those days were a full body lift, like 4 athletic muscle. And 3 of those days were the more champion fit workouts. But workouts are 25 to 45 minutes. So going back to what I said is your strength and conditioning should be adding to your sport, not taking away. So if it's structured properly, you should be able to do it every day with your jujitsu. Again, if you're somebody who I can't train jujitsu twice a day. I work in the mornings and in the evenings. So my only option is that middle of the day class. So for me, it's very, important to train to work out that many times a week, because I don't have the luxury of getting able to train jujitsu twice a day. But what I usually tell people too, is like, you always want to listen to your body. You know, you're going to benefit way more from resting than you are from working out or training jujitsu. If you're kind of like on that line of, I'm so exhausted, what do I do? Most of the time, rest. So I tell people, you know, you have to figure out what works for you. At the beginning of the week, you want to have your mental plan, but you never want to pressure yourself or guilt yourself by also giving your body rest, because usually it is what it needs. So when it comes to scheduling, I do believe it is very personal based on if you're working or if you're a full-time athlete. I believe you can train twice a day and you can work out once a day, and then you have either 1 or 2 days off a week for full rest. For sure. And then I also always like to tell people when it comes to choosing, you know, because I get that a lot. It's like, oh, if you're super tired, what do you do? I always personally will choose a workout over jujitsu. And for 2 reasons. One, champion fit is really great, because anytime you're injured and you can't get on the mat, you can still do the champion fit workouts, and it's going to keep your body prepped. Obviously not prepared. You need your sport to be fully prepared, but it'll keep your body prepped for returning to the mat, or it'll keep your body conditioned if you are taking a day off from jujitsu and working out. And the reason why I say working out, reason number 2, is because you're in control of your body. So on those days where you're like physically or especially mentally exhausted, if you go to jujitsu, you're not 100% in control. Even if the person isn't as technically good as you, there's still that working against you factor. So I always say when it comes to especially mental fatigue and you do feel like you want to do something, always choose to work out. So yeah, that would be my little rundown of strength and conditioning.
That was amazing. And do you adapt it for women? Is there, do you change it at all? And depending on their cycle as well, is that something you take into account?
Right. So when it comes to the lifting and stuff, there are like some things I will and won't do for females. Most of the time, everything's the same. I pay a very close attention to weight, obviously, because it is a group class and people get excited. So just making sure that women are lifting the weights proper for them and they're not trying to compete, you know, with a man that's probably going to be stronger. And when it comes to cycles, I've always been super lucky in a sense, working out actually helps me. So I know most women don't like to, you know, when they start their cycle, I'm the opposite. If on my first day I can go work out, it usually actually like, I don't have the pains and everything that I usually get, but I've never had, an issue with anyone being in class and it being too hard because of that or having to adjust things. No, I keep everything pretty the same across the board for men and women.
And you said previously that you work in the mornings and the evenings, and so you train in... How do you not burn out?
So I guess there's 2 reasons why I don't burn out too. One, I love what I do, you know, and I like that for me is very easy to always have the discipline, you know, even when I'm lacking motivation, to get going and get up. And my people are my purpose. You know, that's what I always say. And the second thing is I live my life like a robot. In a sense, it's not OCD in any way. It's just I have a routine in a sense of, you know, how I, the day I wash my clothes, to how I take them off and put them away, to how my meals are scheduled throughout the day, so that I don't have to think. My day-to-day routine, there's no thought. There's no, what am I going to eat? There's, do I need to do this today? My Monday through Saturday afternoon, because I work 5.5 days a week, is like, it doesn't change. It's all the way through the same thing, like I said, from how I get dressed in the morning to how I take my clothes off at night, so that all of my thinking and all of my energy can be put into my work and training.
Wow. Is that, so that's an intent. Yeah. This is an intentional sort of thing. So do you prepare on Sunday? Is that your day of like, okay, let's reset?
Yeah. So on Sundays, what I like to do is, even on Sundays is the only day I don't have to set an alarm. So usually Sunday morning, I wake up on my own time and then I'll kind of deep clean the house. I usually try to keep it clean all week and then do the more deep clean on Sundays. And then I go to church, I go to the grocery store, get everything I need. I have a meal prep service that I order from. So those arrive Sunday night. I don't cook. I'm not a cooker. I eat my meal prep, and then on the weekends I Uber Eats or go out to dinner. That is like one quality I like will never possess, because I just don't enjoy it. It's cooking. Perfect. I'm glad we're on the same page. You know, I don't mind cleaning. I don't mind, you know, those kinds of things, but cooking was just never my forte. So again, I'm not going to worry about trying to do that. I'm going to hire somebody who knows what they're doing. those things that, because even eating, you know, like think about it. You're sitting next to somebody. What do you want to eat? Between deciding or cooking or going, it's 2 hours a meal. So for me, I save about 4 hours a day just with food, you know, and meals. And that's just either energy to rest during the middle of the day, or like I said, that mental energy that I need to be able to give my people or myself working out and training.
I love that.
And
so thinking back to the psychological preparation you have for tournaments, how do you then deal with the losses? How do you, and the wins as well? Because people sort of say that they're not that different. Yeah. Talk us through that.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they're not, because you get like the extreme emotions on both ends. So I could see why somebody would say they're kind of the same thing. So for me, it's like, I went through a really huge, and still am going through a huge up and down when it comes to winning and losing, because at the colored belts in my division, I never lost. I would lose in absolutes, but I never lost in my division, blue through brown. So then I get to black belt and I basically like lost for the first 2 years. And of course, like outside factors matter, you know, what's going on in your life. I believe pressure was also there too, you know, because I went up so quickly in the belts. And obviously when you get to black belt as one of those competitors, everybody's watching and waiting. And it was my first black belt. And I made it till the final, like the first day I felt fine. I was great, whatever. Made it till the finals, which at black belt is the next day. And I got in the bullpen, the warm-up area for the millionth time in my life. And I was froze for the first time ever. And I went through like my first 2 years at black belt. I don't even know how many times I won, but I would say obviously it's for a reason, but I kept showing up because I still wanted to fight. The feeling sucked. Like I hated losing because I had never experienced it before, especially in that way, especially when everybody's watching, especially on big stages, you know, and it was something that I'm not saying I got used to it, but I definitely transitioned my mind in a sense of like, okay, and like I said earlier, let's pause for a second. And are you doing this because you feel like you need to win? Or are you doing this because you want to fight? And when I was able to kind of grasp that concept, it started to make things way better for me. And even losing, you know, because then I would, when I would lose, I was okay, because it's like, you're here because you want to fight. So losing is okay. If you go to win and you lose, it's not okay. You know, and that's why any professor will always tell you, don't go there, you know, to win, go there to do your best. And hopefully that's the outcome, you know? So I think once I could change my mind over to, hey, do this because you love to do it, not because of the results you've had the last 4 years. And also too, I'm a believer, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe so much in God's plan and trusting God. And that obviously helped me transition into having a better mindset, especially because I was fine in the color belt. It came out of nowhere. And so for me too, being a Christian now, kind of when I'm on the side of the mat, it's like, it's already decided. You know, who's going to win this match is already decided. So I'm going to go out there, get to be able to do not only the thing I love to do, but especially something like Polaris or any of the big stages. You don't get to sign up for that. You know, it's something that you're invited to. So I make sure to just appreciate that, you know, and knowing that I'm going to go out there, I'm going to be able to do what I can do. Hopefully it's enough to win. Not, I was still on the stage for a reason. Good for you, but I'll fight you again soon. You know what I mean? And just, I feel like it's very important to lose well if you want to be not only successful in the sport, but also to enjoy it.
It sounds like you've worked a lot with the mental aspect, which isn't talked about a lot, because all of the athletes talk about how good of a preparation they've done, how well they've trained their body outside the mat, you know, weightlifting, etc. But then not many people talk about the mental part. Did you find it easy to work on that? Because you actually, having that pressure, you do have to dig in and say, what is going on in my head?
Of course. Of course. I mean, I feel like the biggest issue with, and this is like this is a subject that's very close to my heart. Like, I'm a very big mental health advocate. And I think like the biggest issue with it outside of myself is that it's not really talked about or educated so much in our sport, except for like sport specific mental coaches, when a lot of the times I don't really feel like that's the issue. I feel like a lot of the times it's actually mental health that is more the issue, not sports performance. And I want to say super lucky that when I was 14, I was diagnosed as bipolar. And as much as that might not sound lucky, I was super young. And I had parents who were very, very accepting and open. And they put me with a doctor, you know, the psychologist and the psychiatrist. So I have, luckily enough, been working on my mentality for the last 16 years. And as much as I didn't realize how beneficial it was then, and you kind of think I'm a crazy person, like, you know, you think of yourself as a crazy person. It's like now, when I see, especially, I mean, our whole world is kind of talking about how mental health needs to be talked about more. So it's like now when I see that, or I go through something like I just did in a sense of transitioning into black belt and feeling that pressure, and for the first time kind of losing the mentality of it, I am super grateful that I not only had the support of my parents, but was exposed to how mental illness is normal, you know, and if you do deal with it, it's a very normal thing, you know, and it can, again, not only help you on the mat, but off the mat as well. So that's, for me, mental illness is always going to be over training, over fitness, over anything else, because you really can't function, especially in sport, if in life you're not mentally okay.
That is very well put. can you, also talking about the support you've had, have you always felt supported with your family, friends and coaches and your peers on your journey?
Yeah, I always have. Like, of course, we're always going to get those people who come in and out of our lives, you know, and aren't going to give you the support. But I think, again, as you get older too, and that happens more, it's like you kind of choose who you want and don't want to have around, you know. Family is super supportive. I was at Fight Sports the last 6 years, and I have, even not being there anymore, I have the biggest support system from there. And again, I think that's going to go hand in hand with my mental health. If I don't have a support system, because everybody needs it. You know, there's a lot of tough guys out there, and I've been one before. I don't need help. I don't need anybody else. It's so important. So I think without I don't think I would surround myself with people who weren't supportive, because that would take a toll on my mental health. And I know I don't function without having all of those pieces together. So I think I've learned, you know, again, not only through my own experience, but through professional help, that the support system is going to be the most important thing. And those who don't want to support you, regardless of what they may offer in your life, it's never going to be worth it.
No, I mean, it sounds like you've sort of really, you're very grounded. Like, you've got business success, but you're also very, very grounded in the way that you are approaching it, in the sense of like community support and doing something that you love. And that's why you don't get burnout. And it sounds like,
yeah,
you sort of arrived like at this lovely, in this really lovely space.
No, I love that. I love that.
Have you always been able to spot what's not good, like what energy is not good for you, and deal with it straight away? Like, have you had that ability?
For the most part, yeah. And again, it goes back to me, luckily, being bipolar. You know, it sounds like a crazy thing to say, but I tell people all the time, you know, it's like, I don't like the rep that psychologists and psychiatrists guess. It never made sense to me, because it's just like, if you have a broken bone, you're not going to fix it yourself. So unless you've studied the brain and the chemicals and the imbalances, how are we, you know, to really help how we're feeling? As much as you want to be like, oh, just shake it off or stay positive or this and that, there's so much to learn about not only your brain, but what's been around you that's affecting your brain as well too. And having a professional be able to maybe just point that something out, you know, whether it was how your dad is or how your mom was, or even making something like that recognizable, could change something huge for your life. So did that answer your question at all? Or
No,
we love tangents.
Feel like I went off on a tangent and them. I couldn't come back.
We love them.
Okay. Okay.
So thinking about, as a competitor who's been around for a while, and you've been on a lot of grappling events, how do you see the pay for male athletes and women athletes? Because there's so many different opinions about this. What's your opinion about how it is going? And it's, yeah.
You know, I feel like it's a very hard, there's so many loose ends in jiu-jitsu to begin with, in a sense of pay in general. I mean, the first thing would be, just if you look at any other sport, you know, they have one rule set, kind of one federation. And it's great that in jiu-jitsu we have all these opportunities, but it does also affect if you're looking at it from a professional standpoint. When it comes to the men and women thing, in a sense of equal pay and equal this and equal that, I'm kind of on like not both sides of it, but I'm somebody who is very, I'm somebody who really supports, I guess I'll use that word unless it comes to me, showing up and kind of putting in the work. And I'm not saying that females don't do that at all, because we definitely do. But it's also a numbers game. When you look at jiu-jitsu and you look at the number of men versus the number of women, you know, especially when you look at a card, that has five matches, let's say, and one out of the five are women, that's actually more than equal if you're looking at numbers. So it's such a it's such a sensitive thing, because realistically for me, I feel like it should go based on performance, you know? If, because a lot of the girls' fights do cause a lot of attraction, especially now, especially as like the level is going up, girls' fights are very, very exciting. But it's always like a sensitive thing to talk about when it comes to pay. And what I always tell, you know, my girls too, is always taking care of yourself outside the sport as well too. You know, because even if you look at people who are getting paid a lot for an event, even if you do get paid, let's say $10,000, and you fight that event once and maybe only fight once a year, what is that $10,000? It's great, you know, but at this point in time, I feel like men or women, it's hard to rely on jiu-jitsu in general, you know? There's people that are obviously helping the sport, and I do see it progressing over time. But I think when it comes to men and women and pay and this, I think it's just hard to really, really talk about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is a tough topic. Thank you for...
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard for me too, because I don't live off of jiu-jitsu either. You know, I have my career, so I can do jiu-jitsu for fun, and obviously like getting paid or winning a prize like Polaris has, that's incredible. You know, and that's I love that the sport is doing that. So it's just hard. It's hard to tell. It's hard to say, you know, it's hard.
And why is it important for shows, grappling shows like Polaris now, to actively support women, to put on these Grand Prix?
Right. Well, because if that's what we want as women, you know, if we want to start getting paid like the men are, if we want to start having more women on the cards, we need to show up so that other women start signing up. It's not even necessarily the getting on shows that's always going to grow women's pay. It's going to be the more women that start jiu-jitsu, the better it's going to be for women. So when you have Polaris doing a card like this, you know, having both of the ADCC champions on one card, as well as at least three other, you know, world champions, that's the statement that needs to be made, you know, when it comes to women jiu-jitsu and being able to offer that. And then obviously, as the women showing up, we need to perform. You know, if we want people to want us on cards, we can't show up and play patty cake. You know, we got to show up and try to kill each other and then hug after. So And that's the thing, you know, women's jiu-jitsu, it's not new. And of course, there's like legends of the sport that were there when the guys were. But if you look back to pictures, truthfully, even 10 years ago, you don't even need to say 20 years ago. When you look back to photos 10 years ago, I would say one in five gyms are going to have one or two females, you know? So it's something too that I think as women, we also need to make sure we're showing up for the sport because we love it. You know, taking care of ourselves outside the sport, but showing that we also deserve to be here and that we're not going anywhere and that we're not doing it just for the money, because I feel like the men and the women who have been around for a long time, they kind of did that. You know, they stayed around long enough to show like, hey, we're trying to make this sport a thing. And now as women, that's just what we need to keep doing. We need to keep showing up. We need to keep performing. And these situations and opportunities like Polaris, they will come.
Absolutely. Now, who are you most excited to fight on Polaris? If you could name, I mean, you don't have to name one, but...
Oh my gosh.
If you can.
It's hard. So I've fought Liz a bunch of times, and I always like fighting with people I've always fought with, because I feel like that's the best way to feel your evolution, you know, and obviously be able to gear where you're at. When you fight someone new and they're good and you beat them, you don't know if it was just that day or what it was. So Liz is always somebody I love to fight. Amy, I actually lost to at the trials at ADCC. So I think we're one and one. I have her in the gi at Nogi at Gi World's Purple Belt, and she got me at trials. So she's definitely somebody I would love to run into again. Those two girls I've fought before. I feel like fighting Fionn would just be amazing because of who she is as a person, as an athlete. I don't think you could choose. I don't think no. I could choose. You know, I'm whoever they give me, like I'm ready and I'm excited.
Sorry, that was a mean question.
I know, it's good.
Have you done any sort of specific preparation for this one?
Yeah, so for this tournament, it's been a little bit crazy for me. I'm no longer with Fight as of a month ago, and then I got the Polaris invite, I think, 3 weeks ago. So right now, more than anything, like I have people that I can train with here and there, but I just made sure I'm in really good shape, you know, cause I'm not going to learn, you know, more jujitsu in the next fight happen. So it's more so just making sure I'm in shape to fight, making sure my weight cut is good and training when I can.
Wow. Always ready, basically. Your motto.
Always ready. Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
Exactly.
Shanti, do you have another question?
No, that was
lovely. Cool. Let's go into the last question that we ask everyone on our podcast.
Okay.
Maggie, what are you fighting for?
Oh, wow. This is so good. I'm fighting for passion. And not just like in this sport, but and everybody that follows me or everybody that I influence or anybody that's, you know, in my support system, you know, everything that I do is for passion to hopefully rub that off on other people, you know, because going back to you saying how I feel or I seem very grounded and very at peace, you know, and it's because I follow my passions, you know, and fighting is one of those. And I believe, again, it's not just about the passion of fighting, but my purpose being passion, you know, and everything that I do in my life and having people be able to see that everything I do is with that and not for the wrong reason.
Thank you so much, Maggie, for sharing that spending.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women Who Fight podcast. And credit to Will Grant for being our songwriter and sound editor. Please subscribe and share and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at womenwhofight.co.uk and check out our website for more content.